Welcome to a special edition of the Deep Dive from the Mohawk Valley Voice.
Glad to be here.
Today, we're tackling a really important public health story that's unfolding right now. And as always, a huge thank you to our producer, David Laguerre, for bringing it all together.
He really does a great job.
We often explore complex issues, but today it's something quite urgent. A significant measles outbreak happening down in Texas.
Yeah, and this isn't just, you know, a few cases here and there. We're talking about the largest measles outbreak in the U.S. since the year 2000.
Wow, since 2000.
It's a pretty stark reminder, frankly, that diseases we thought were, well, practically gone can come back and come back strong.
Absolutely. So to really get a handle on this, we've pulled together info from a few places: NPR, the Texas Tribune, of course, the official Texas Department of State Health Services data, and even some context from the Cook County Department of Public Health.
Right. Trying to get a full picture.
Exactly. Our mission today is pretty clear. Understand just how big this Texas outbreak is, what the real challenges are in trying to control it, and, you know, what this tells us about public health and vaccination overall.
Okay.
So the thing that immediately jumped out at me, and you mentioned it, is just how unexpected this feels.
You're right. I mean, for a lot of people, measles probably seems like something from the history books.
Totally.
Like Catherine Wells, the public health director in Lubbock, Texas.
Yeah.
She put it very plainly. She said, I mean, we considered measles eradicated in the United States.
Right. Eradicated. That really highlights the shock value here, the concern.
Definitely. And the numbers, well, they paint a pretty sobering picture. As of May 13th, 2025, we're looking at 717 confirmed cases in Texas.
717? That's a lot.
It is. And it's not just the number. It's the impact. Over 90 hospitalizations.
Oh, wow.
And tragically, two unvaccinated school-aged children with no known underlying conditions have died from this.
Oh, that's just heartbreaking. That really brings home how serious measles can actually be.
It does. And just for scale, you know, this Texas outbreak has already passed the big New York outbreak back in 2019. That one had 697 cases, and that was considered a major event.
So this is bigger. Okay, so what's driving it? What's behind these numbers?
Well, what's really telling is who is getting sick. The Cook County Department of Public Health, they tracked this stuff, closely reported that over 97% of recent measles cases are in people who weren't vaccinated.
97%.
Yeah. It really shines a bright light on just how crucial that vaccine is.
And it sounds like the public health folks are fighting an uphill battle against, well, bad information.
That seems to be a huge factor. That same Lubbock health director, Catherine Wells, she said something quite alarming, that anti-vaccine advocates are moving 10 times the speed we are.
10 times the speed. Wow, that shows you the challenge they're up against just getting accurate info out there.
It really does. And we're seeing specific examples like the Children's Health Defense Group actively pushing false stories and even promoting things that just don't work. Like suggesting cod liver oil or vitamin A as some kind of alternative to the vaccine.
Okay, we need to be incredibly clear here. Vitamin A does not prevent measles. It's not a substitute for the MMR vaccine, period.
Absolutely not. The American Academy of Pediatrics is very firm on this. Now, vitamin A can have a very specific, limited role in treating kids who already have severe measles and are deficient in vitamin A.
Under strict medical supervision.
Exactly. Under supervision, it is absolutely not a prevention strategy. Relying on it instead of the vaccine is, well, it's incredibly risky.
And it seems like this kind of misinformation might be feeding into another trend in Texas, more parents getting exemptions for school shots.
Precisely. The data shows it climbing. In the 2023-2024 school year, 3.63% of parents filed conscientious exemptions. Go back to 2014, it was only 1.29%.
That's a noticeable jump.
It is. Yeah. And look at Gaines County. That's where this outbreak is really centered right now.
Yeah.
Nearly 18%, 1/8 of kindergarten parents there filed for vaccine exemptions.
18%. That's huge. And that really brings us to herd immunity, doesn't it? That community protection idea.
Exactly. Herd immunity is key. You need a really high percentage of people vaccinated for measles. It's about 95% to protect everyone.
Yeah.
Especially those who can't get vaccinated, like tiny babies or people with weak immune systems.
Right.
When vaccination rates drop below that 95% threshold, like we're seeing in pockets across Texas, well, it's like lowering the shield. It gives the virus an easy way in and lets it spread.
So you've got this vaccine hesitancy fueled by bad information. And then on top of that, it sounds like the public health teams in Texas are stretched thin. resource problem.
Unfortunately, yeah. That's another critical piece of this puzzle. Federal funding cuts have hit their ability to respond.
How so?
Well, nationally, over $11 billion in public health grants were canceled, and Texas felt that.
Can you give an example of what that looks like on the ground?
Sure. In Lubbock, the funding they used for an epidemiologist, basically a disease detective, and for temporary staff you need in an outbreak, that got cut.
Right when you need them most.
Exactly. And in Dallas, grant money that was supposed to go towards equipping a lab for testing things like measles also cut.
That's just a really tough blow when you're in the middle of this. That quote from Catherine Wells again, it's kind of crazy to have this funding cut. I don't have a savings account in public health.
Yeah. It really underscores how fragile public health funding often is.
So these cuts directly hurt their ability to test, vaccinate, fight the misinformation.
Right. So stretches already thin resources, even thinner, right when you need them most. A real crisis situation.
Yet, despite all these challenges, the funding cuts, the misinformation, even some negative media stuff that NPR mentioned, it sounds like the public health workers themselves are just incredibly dedicated.
Absolutely. From everything we're reading, these folks are working tirelessly, really committed to protecting their communities under very tough circumstances. It's admirable.
Okay, let's switch gears slightly. Let's talk about measles itself. For anyone listening who maybe isn't that familiar, how does it actually spread? And what are the symptoms?
Right. So measles is incredibly contagious, probably one of the most contagious viruses we know.
Okay.
It spreads through the air. When someone infected coughs or sneezes or even just talks, tiny droplets with the virus go into the air and others can breathe them in.
And surfaces too.
Yeah, the virus can live on surfaces for up to 2 hours. So if you touch something contaminated and then touch your face, eyes, nose, mouth, you could get infected.
And it's really easy to catch if you're not immune.
Extremely easy.
Mm-hmm.
The estimate is about a 90% infection rate if you're exposed and don't have immunity from vaccination or previous infection. 9 out of 10 people.
Wow. Okay, symptoms. What should people look out for?
Well, it usually starts about 1 to 2 weeks after you're exposed. You get a moderate fever, a cough, runny nose, red watery eyes, conjunctivitis, and a sore throat. Kind of like a bad cold at first.
Okay.
Then a few days later, you might see tiny white spots inside the mouth. They're called Koplik spots. That's a classic sign.
Well, Koplik spots, okay.
And then comes the rash. That typical measles rash, red or reddish brown. It usually starts up around the hairline and then spreads down the body. And the fever can spike really high then too.
So if someone thinks, uh-oh, maybe this is measles, what should they do? Just rush to the ER?
No, definitely don't just rush in. The key is to call ahead.
Call first. Why?
To prevent spreading it to others in the waiting room. Call your doctor's office or urgent care or the ER. Tell them you suspect measles. That way they can prepare. Maybe have you come in through a different entrance or put you straight into an isolation room.
Makes sense. Are there specific danger signs to watch for?
Yes. The Texas DSHS lists emergency warning signs. Things like difficulty breathing, signs of dehydration, like not peeing, much confusion, or for little kids, a bluish tint to their lips or skin. Those need immediate medical help. 911 or straight to the ER after calling in if possible.
Got it. And how long is someone contagious?
This is important. You're actually contagious for about 4 days before the rash even shows up.
Oh, wow. Before you even know for sure it's measles.
Exactly. And then you're contagious for about 4 days after the rash appears. So a total of about 8 days. That's why staying home and isolating is so crucial during that whole period.
And the best prevention, hands down, is?
Vaccination, the MMR vaccine.
Mm-mm.
Two doses are about 97% effective at preventing measles. It's incredibly good protection.
And where can people get it?
It's widely available. Doctor's offices, many pharmacies. And there are programs to help if cost is an issue, like Texas Vaccines for Children, PVFC for Kids, and the Adult Safety Net Program for Uninsured Adults.
Okay. It feels really important now to tackle some of the myths about measles and the vaccine because it seems like they're a big part of this problem.
It's absolutely crucial. One dangerous myth is that measles is just some harmless childhood rite of passage.
Right. Everyone got it back in the day.
Yeah. But the reality is measles can be really serious. It can lead to pneumonia, encephalitis, that's brain swelling, permanent hearing loss from ear infections, and like we've tragically seen in Texas, even death. It's not harmless.
And what about the idea that the vaccine doesn't even work?
That's just false. The science is overwhelming. One dose is about 93% effective. Two doses get you to 97%. And look at this outbreak. 97% of cases are in unvaccinated people. That tells you the vaccine works.
And we absolutely have to say it again. The MMR vaccine does not cause autism.
Correct. That myth has been completely debunked by decades of huge, rigorous scientific studies all over the world. There is absolutely no link. End of story. It's a harmful myth that puts kids at risk.
Okay. Another one. My choice not to vaccinate only affects me or my child.
That's just fundamentally misunderstanding how infectious diseases work. Like we talked about with herd immunity, not vaccinating doesn't just risk your own health.
Right.
It weakens the community's shield. Mm-hmm. It puts vulnerable people, babies too young for the shot, cancer patients, others with weak immune systems at serious risk. High vaccination rates protect everyone.
What about people saying it's better or safer to get immunity by actually getting sick with measles?
That's incredibly dangerous thinking. Yes, getting measles usually gives you immunity, but the risk of getting that immunity through infection is way too high. Serious complications, hospitalization, death. Those are real possibilities.
So the vaccine is much, much safer.
Infinitely safer. It lets your body build protection without the danger of the actual disease.
And lastly, is measles just for kids?
No, absolutely not. Adults who aren't fully vaccinated can definitely get measles. And sometimes it can be even more severe in adults. So everyone needs to make sure they're protected.
Okay, looking at the bigger picture now, what are the potential wider implications here? Could this get worse?
Well, the potential for it to keep spreading is definitely a concern, especially if vaccination rates don't improve in those undervaccinated communities.
Like we saw in New York in 2019.
Right, that outbreak spread within specific communities with low vaccination rates. This Texas one seems to have started similarly initially in certain communities in West Texas.
But you mentioned earlier it's spreading differently now, more localized.
Yeah, it seems less tied to obvious single points of origin like international travel and more driven by sort of local travel within Texas and hitting these different pockets where herd immunity is weak.
Which makes it harder to predict where it might pop up next.
Exactly. It makes statewide vigilance and boosting vaccination rates everywhere even more crucial.
Yeah.
Because you don't know where the next hotspot will be.
Yeah.
Ultimately, vaccination is still the best tool we have to get this under control.
So let's try and summarize the key takeaways for everyone listening. What are the absolute must-know points?
Okay. First, this Texas measles outbreak is serious. It's the biggest in the U.S. in over 20 years. It's not trivial.
Right.
Second, vaccination works. The MMR vaccine is incredibly effective and the best way to prevent measles and its complications.
Yeah.
Third, the response is being challenged. Misinformation is spreading fast, and funding cuts are hurting public health efforts.
Okay.
And finally, community immunity matters. Your choice to vaccinate protects not just you, but the whole community, especially the most vulnerable people around you.
And if listeners want more information specifically on the Texas situation,
the Texas Department of State Health Services website, DSHS, is the go-to source. They have current case counts, info on vaccines, guidance. We should definitely link that in the show notes.
Good idea. And maybe this is a good reminder for everyone, you know, just check your own vaccination status or your kids. Talk to your doctor if you have questions or need to get vaccinated.
Absolutely. It's a simple step, but it provides really powerful protection for you and for everyone else.
It really does make you think about how linked we all are, doesn't it? Our individual health decisions impact public health, especially for those who can't protect themselves easily.
Yeah.
That idea of responsibility, it's definitely something to chew on.
It really is.
Well, thank you for walking us through this, and thank you all for joining us for this. Welcome to the Mohawk Valley Voice Deep Dive. We really hope you'll tune in again next time as we explore other important topics.